You read the Bible, Rick.
Talking to me?
Come along, Samwise. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's past.
So what you want?
Jesus freak.
I got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Stuntsy pitches, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello, and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Sunday, November 22nd, 2020. This is episode number 90, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
I'm Zach.
Coming up, we've got our 14th Hall of Fame review. We're going to be reviewing The Truman Show, put forward by Chris.
True that.
We'll also talk about some other things that we watch, and then whatever else comes up along the way. So thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. How are you guys doing this week? Thanksgiving's approaching. Are you guys big Thanksgiving fans? Do you even care?
I love Thanksgiving. It's like my favorite holiday, but I got to work this year. You probably do too, you fucking asshole.
No, I'm off. I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
The fuck? So you work 60 hours and 4 days a week?
Yep.
Wow.
How'd you manage that? Oh, just the restaurants? Or all the restaurants are closed then?
It's slow on Friday, and I have Wednesday off.
Dude, dope. I just got Thursday, Friday.
I'm going to have every day off. I'm going to quit everywhere and just live on unemployment.
Dude, nice. You work at the hotel, Chris?
Yeah. Courtyard by Marriott can get a certain percentage off of all hotels across the United States as long as they're a Marriott affiliate.
Yeah, you probably got a lot of people checking in post-Thanksgiving, right?
Not really.
Or on Thanksgiving? Well, it might be dead this year if no one's traveling.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that nobody's traveling. And we don't really have a whole lot of people that are supposed to be coming in. We have like a couple, like a hockey team. Hockey teams and like basketball teams that come throughout the winter time to do like tournaments and stuff. But like, besides that, from what I'm told, it's pretty slow and dead.
Damn, random.
Yeah. That's so random.
Are you doing anything for Thanksgiving? Are you going anywhere? Or are you and Alyssa doing anything?
It's probably not on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, she's probably going to go see her family, but everybody in my family is working on Thanksgiving Day. So we're celebrating the Sunday after. So I'm making a turkey, and then my sister's going to make a turkey, and then mom's going to make a turkey. And then
Is it a turkey off?
No, we're only going to have two turkeys. But
you invited me to Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
And you're not even going to have Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving.
No.
So your invitation is basically moot, because on Thanksgiving, if I didn't have anywhere to go, I'd still just be sitting at home doing nothing.
Yes. You can come hang out Sunday for Thanksgiving dinner, by all means, or, you know, not. That's whatever your prerogative is.
I'm busy.
What are you doing?
Not going to yours.
I have to work. Make money. Ooh.
Yeah, some of us have this thing called a job.
I have to contribute to society.
Ooh. I don't care.
You think if I put on like a white lab coat and like stood at the front door with a mask on at the Marriott that you worked at and just pretended to take everyone's COVID tests as they were coming in?
Yeah.
Rectally?
All right, everybody. Bend over, cough. And good. It's this new 5-minute rectal exam. You get your COVID results back in 5 minutes. It's crazy.
Nope, you're good.
Speaking of COVID, I got a public safety warning alert on my phone today that said that I'm in a high COVID area, and I so to stay safe.
You gonna stay safe, or you gonna raw dog it like you have been the past? Dude,
I haven't done fucking shit since March.
Yeah, I'm kind of fucking bored.
I'm a little bored too, but it's only getting worse. So like, I just can't do anything.
I'm out of town.
I just keep blowing all my money on movies that I'm too depressed to watch.
That's how I'm justifying like all my purchases. I'm like, well, I'm not fucking doing anything. We don't see an end in sight, so I might as well be as comfortable at home as possible. So then I just like buy some shit for my house. Then I don't end up touching it.
What do you buy? I'd like to know what you blow your money on, Chris.
I buy shit that I never use. Like
What? Toasters or
No, like I went online and I buy like books that I won't read.
Okay.
And then I'll like find weird little knickknacks and I'll buy them and then I'll get rid of them. Like, I don't know. I've been thinking lately about buying a bunch of power tools.
You definitely should not buy power tools.
I really want to build shit. I mean, realistically, power tools are a good investment anyways, because they're good, just good to have, you know? Even if I don't use them now, at some point, I can imagine I'd be like, no, having this drill really came in handy.
There's got to be some good Lowe's Black Friday sales.
Are you kidding me? Heck yeah. They have a 10-piece, 20-volt battery DeWalt set, cordless, might I add, for nice. Like $500 when it's normally like $850.
That's pretty good.
Snap-on tool chest.
Snap-on tool chest? What's that?
They're like 10 gram.
What?
And like Snap-on is the brand, but they're like...
Oh, you mean like a ratchet and shit?
No, like they're like the big chests, like tool sets. Like, it's basically just a place for you to put your tools, but it's very high quality. Mm. Like $10,000.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, like a chest as in like a big like it's box.
Like the super things. Yeah. I don't know what it is about like tool fucking drawers and shit, but like they're probably 3 inches tall a piece and there's a set of like 15 drawers in a row. And it's made out of metal, and for some reason they're worth like tens of like thousands of dollars. When if you were to buy something like that normally that was just meant for clothes or something, it would be worth half that.
Hmm.
I don't know if there's a reason why it's so expensive, or people who collect tools are just suckers, or what. I don't know.
Idiots. Blue collar laborers, morons.
Just get a filing cabinet. Filing cabinets are relatively cheap.
Just throw everything on the floor.
Are they cheap? They seem that they would be really expensive.
I mean, if you go on Facebook Swap and Sell, I guarantee you could find like 15 different filing cabinets for sale for like $10 a piece.
Oh, I can't wait to test
you
that.
You haul it away, though.
That's true. I never thought like Facebook Marketplace or like a Letgo app. I bet they're pretty cheap.
I've never thought of Letgo app.
Who the fuck? That's where we got our couch.
Yeah, I was close.
$3 for a filing cabinet?
Yeah. 4-drawer filing cabinet for $40.
That seems a little expensive for Facebook Swap and Sell.
Dude, do you understand that people have a very high, like, they think their shit is worth way more than it really is?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I tried to buy some stuff on there at one point in time, and I tried to talk to these guys, and one person I messaged, and I said, hey, would you take this, like this dollar amount? I can't specifically remember what it was. I'm pretty sure it was a guitar. And he was asking for like $300 for it. And I offered him like $175, $200. And he was just like, dude, it's easily worth more than that. And I went online and I saw it brand new for like $10, $15 more than what he was selling it as. And I'm like, okay. No, that's not happening. I'll pay you like 2/3 what you're asking. Your shit is not that cool.
Let's just look at what have I been looking at. Okay. This person thinks that their 2017 MacBook Pro is worth $950. They think they're going to get $950 on a swap and sell page.
Yeah.
I think I bought a brand new computer for cheaper than that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. It comes with a pink case that retails at $70. It's so nice of you to throw that in when I'm giving you a grand.
Who the fuck? Who's going to sit there? Who buys a case for a laptop that's pink?
Who buys now, a case for a laptop in now, general? Zach. You swap and sell action figurines on the Facebook Marketplace. MacBook
Pro 13-inch, they want $1,800. You can absolutely buy a brand new one for $1,800.
Yeah, and hit a Black Friday sale. Like, you get what? Like, you can get it.
Or you could go on the Marketplace, buy the one that that girl wants for $950 and still have $900 left.
Yeah, dude.
You see, people are idiots. Your shit's really not worth anything. The second you can get over that, the better.
I don't think I have anything to sell. Like, I have a guitar that I'd sell on there.
See, this guy's desperate. He listed this Alienware laptop for $2,200. He's now willing to take $800.
Whoa.
For cash.
What a sucker.
Drugs cost money.
If only they were free, you know?
You gotta move to Oregon for that.
If they were free. What's this? Shit, now he's on Facebook swap and sell looking at random shit. He can't turn his eye away. Oh, fuck, what's this? And he's gonna scroll down, look at the items like this. Oh, shit, what's that?
Dude, I'm just saying, I might buy it.
It's a rat.
What is it?
I don't know. What
is it?
Anything I want. That's the problem. I don't have anyone who says I can't have things.
I mean, you could tell yourself you can't have
things. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. What was I thinking?
What are you looking at? What's so tantalizing?
Dude, $75 for this futon.
Just surprise mom with a futon. You should swap out their couch in the middle of the night for that futon.
Zach, what'd you do with our couch? Oh, yeah, I gave it to Chris.
Thought this futon was swap a trade, Mom.
What do you think, like, people would here do if go. You just offered to trade them the weirdest shit? Like, for that MacBook Pro that was $950 with the pink case, just trade them,
Have you ever heard that story of a person that in Canada who traded their way from a paperclip to a house?
I did. I thought the what they traded for the house was an absolute fucking, like, dumb thing. Like, I'm pretty sure it was, like, a generator.
I thought it was, like, cruise tickets or something like that.
Oh, I mean, it just seems like a big jump to a house, you know?
This guy's selling 6 brand new Blu-rays for $25, and one of them is Charlotte's Web, which alone is worth $25.
Are you gonna get them?
Magic Mike, The Neverending Story, Haywire.
Neverending Story.
Sorry, that's pretty solid. That's worth $25, I'd say. You know what I really want to do? My boss told me that it happened this weekend, or maybe it was last weekend. But there was a locker, like a storage locker, like. Bidding thing last weekend.
I've always wanted
like a storage war, and like I would love to do that. Like, if I had a couple thousand dollars,
if I had a couple thousand dollars to spare, I'd do that. I mean, like, you never know what you're gonna find in there.
That's just it. Like, you'll find a nice Husqvarna lawnmower that you could pawn off, or maybe some sweet antiques.
What if you, like, opened it up and there was a dead carcass in there? Like, a dead body?
Well,
sick, dude.
You bought the body. Like, you can do with it what you want. This motherfucker has
Jumper on Blu-ray. I could buy Jumper? I'll take it.
Fucking rabbit hole.
How much for just Jumper?
Send him that message. I see all your other movies, and it looks great, but, like, can I have just Jumper?
Listen, bruh.
Nice. Well, let's get talking some movies here then.
What do you think we were doing?
We're talking about The Truman Show. Chris, this was your nomination. Any reason behind this pick? Or?
It's one of the easiest watches I've ever had. Like, it's an hour and 40 minutes, and every single time I watch it, I go to, like, click pause to go to the bathroom or something, and I look, and I'll be like, fuck, I'm already 40 minutes into this shit.
How often do you have to pause things to go to the bathroom?
Dude, I gotta pee. I drink water.
Seems dumb.
Yeah. Anyway, it's one of the easiest watches I've ever had. Plus, I fucking love Jim Carrey's last line. It's the big cosmic fuck you to the man in the sky, the literal man in the sky.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, fuck you.
I liked it, dude. Are you kidding me?
It's a good choice.
Thank you.
Let's get a little lead in here. So The Truman Show is directed by Peter Weir and stars Jim Carrey, Laura Linney, Ed Harris. And the plot synopsis, simply, an insurance salesman discovers his whole life is actually a reality TV show. So take it away, Chris. Go a little more, like, tell us a little bit more about your love of The Truman Show.
I mean, you guys already know that I really like Jim Carrey.
True. Is this his best role?
No.
Mm.
Ace Ventura is
far superior. I mean, it's not comedic, so it's hard to say if it's his best role or not.
Ace Ventura is a lot better than this, Zach. Come on. And if you're going to sit here and tell me that Ace Ventura is a comedy, I'm going to call
this
you
is like horror. This is like people that are like, oh, what's the best Adam Sandler movie? And they're like, oh, Punch Drunk Love. This is the best Adam Sandler movie. It's like those people I want to punch right in the mouth.
They obviously haven't seen Hubie Halloween. So.
They obviously, like...
obviously.
If we're talking, like, best Adam Sandler movie... and you're not telling me something that's like Jack and Jill or Big Daddy.
Literally picks the worst one. Jack and Jill, You Don't Mess with the Zohan, Little Nicky.
If you're not saying something like that, then like, get out of here. This is a movie for pretentious film people to be like, Jim Carrey can act, dude. Like, obviously, Jim Carrey can act. He's serious in this movie.
Which, like, he does the same exact thing in this movie that he does in majority of his other movies. Like, I mean, with his body and, like, his over-exaggerated just
but if presence. if you're gonna ask me what the best Jim Carrey movie is, I'm gonna tell you that it's The Mask.
You're gonna choose The Mask?
Yes.
Favorite Adam Sandler movie, Jack and Jill. Favorite Jim Carrey movie, The Mask. Favorite Will Ferrell movie, Everything Must Go. No, I but Jim Carrey, he's got some chops in this movie, though. I gotta say, he's got some chops. I'm a big fan of the concept, and I like that they don't hide it from you from the very beginning. Because I feel like if it was one of those movies where you were forced to piece it together as the movie went on, it just wouldn't make it as enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm just playing it like a twist and kind of being like, what? It was all a reality show?
Same movie. You're not referencing... they don't reference the fact that it's a TV show. And they direct it by M. Night Shyamalan. Maybe would work.
Life's I'm really TV sad that they anymore. Don't. We don't get to see the first conception on television.
No, you didn't hear the guy. They always just pan out to the window and they kind of show the things fluttering. Which my whole thing was is I cannot tell you how many times I've sat there and be like, am I a fucking Truman?
Okay, so they don't hide it, but they definitely like do take their time revealing everything that's going on, because the Ed Harris character isn't even introduced until maybe like 50 minutes in.
I mean, you know that he exists, you just don't know who it is.
Yeah, I thought it was something like it was some sort of like alternate reality thing where like somebody else is able to tap in and like see things as they're happening. Like that's kind of what I thought was like was going on. And then like but then I do like that it's all just a set, like in like a big ass set in this big ass dome.
One of the
like
only
I do like
handmade things you can see from space.
Like I do like that. Like that's pretty cool.
I thought like the explanation for like why he's never traveled was was pretty good. Like, they instill this fear of water in him so that he never wants to leave this island.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was pretty good. I mean, I also love the movie. It's basically Married at First Sight, but like 30 years deep into that, and I love that. Love the concept. It's good. I do think Jim Carrey's really good, and I think the other performances are really like hammy and over the top, but in a way that kind of works in this exaggerated like 50s lifestyle mm-hmm. kind of thing. And I think like the scenario they're in is so ridiculous that their performances kind of match that. I would say like the one thing that like I'm not crazy about, if I had to pick something, would be that girl from Californication, like her storyline.
Oh.
Like him like piecing together the magazine to like so that it looks like her, and like I don't know. It seems like a ridiculous motivation for wanting to like get out of there.
I mean, he wanted to get out of there anyways, so I guess I can understand the lack of need for that.
It just seems unnecessary. Like there's enough reasons for him to not want his life controlled. But I don't know as if, like, this other woman that's somewhere out in the world that he's, like, getting pieces of and fragments of memories of is, like, really necessary.
Yeah. I'm saying.
I think at the same time it kind of works, though. Because it is, like, I mean, like, your feelings for someone, like, that's something that's, like, real and no one can really, like, make up for you. So I did kind of like that there was, like, something out there that he yearns for, but then all these other factors sort of keep him there. And then, you know, as things go on and he kind of starts to suspect maybe something weird is happening with his life, then like that just becomes stronger for him to want to get out and find her. Like I think it works well for this. It's like not overly complicated, so it's something that you can like fall back to and like works really well for this.
Gives him kind of goal to shoot for, which I always thought was cool. They play on him wanting to go to Fiji a whole lot, which kind of seemed a little weird to me. Like, I very much could have done without that, but like.
The man loves Fiji, dude.
But it's just it's a weird thing. Like, I understand.
Well, no, it's because he thought that that's where she moved to. Like, when that guy picks her up and he thinks it's her father, and he's like, yeah, we're moving to Fiji. You won't be able to get in touch with her. So if he had said we're moving to Rome, he would have been obsessed with Rome.
Yeah, I guess so. So it really wasn't about Fiji.
No, it's just about that's the only thing you knew about that girl.
I always fucking loved the weird product placement. When he's sitting there and he takes a swig of the beer and he's like, now label out, now that's a beer.
Well, even that they explain too. With like, there's no ad breaks, so they have to work them in into the show.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cool. Like, there's a lot of stuff that like seems really clunky or whatever, but then like it really works well. Sort of like this meta thing. Like, oh well, these sort of reality shows are kind of clunky and whatever, and like things don't always work out perfectly. So it works. It's like I don't know. It's like adds like this perfect meta element to it. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying, like how like hammy everyone is. And so it's like, you know, they're just terrible actors trying to act, but then Truman is a part of this world and doesn't really know any better. So he just believes that that's like what reality is like.
Mm. Wow, Mount Rushmore looks so much smaller. They always do in the photos, dear.
Like I like how it even all like looks like a set.
Yeah.
Like how all the houses like just don't look real and like just nothing about it really seems real.
Truman, don't climb over that rock wall. But why? You gotta know your limitations, son. That's hilarious. I don't know, I really liked the movie though. I thought at the end is awesome.
Yeah, I like how they handle even things sort of like flashback. Where, like, it's jumping back to give you exposition, but it's also, like, cheesy exposition on this, like, on this reality show that people look at, and they're like, oh, yeah, we've got this on our greatest hits. Like, you can watch it later.
I do like all of the cutting to, like, people watching it and, like, their reactions to it.
Yeah. That guy in the bathtub is a freaking riot.
him at the end where he's just fucking splashing around. He's like, no.
And like, I think it's like the perfect commentary is like the very last part of the movie, which is like literally like this big 30-year thing is over. And then the guy's just like, oh, let's see what else is on. Like, that is like just like the perfect commentary for like media in the 21st century. Like, these big cultural like things happen, and it's like, well, they're popular for 2 weeks, and it's like, well, let's see what else is playing. Like, I don't know.
Oh man, when they cut to like all of his big life events happening, and they show him getting married, and it's like fucking a huge ass stadium, like Woodstock style, where everybody's sitting out on the lawn watching it happen.
I loved like the explanation for why it was Truman. Like, he's literally just the only baby that lined up with production for the show.
I hate how like artsy Christoph is, though. Like, I get why his character would be that way, but I just remember sitting there being like, such a douche. Like, what a fucking tool.
And his beret.
His beret, and he's sitting there, and he's, like, petting the screen while Truman's, like, sleeping. I'm like, that's fucking weird, dude.
He's been doing this for 30 years.
Yeah, he's a tool.
Also, like, how there's, like, the sappy music playing, but then it, like, pans back, and there's just someone on a piano that's actually, like, playing that music. It just like those meta things, like I just thought they were pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh shit. Paul Giamatti. I was not expecting that.
Classic Paul.
Oh shit.
Yeah, no, I think it's like handled pretty well, like the rolling out of information. It's like just enough to like clue you in, but then enough that like you still don't quite understand what's going on until it's ready for you to, and then like, you kind of figure it out at the same time Truman is sort of figuring it out. So yeah. I think that, like, works really well for this.
Like, you know what's happening, but as information gets, you don't exactly know, like, how it's happening.
Well, like, yeah, because, like, when it starts, like, you know something, obviously you know something's off. It's like you're a little bit ahead of Truman, but then he catches up to you, and then you both kind of figure out what's happening together. Like, I think that works really well.
Yeah. There's so many things that could have gone wrong, though, with this. First off, I don't understand how it's financially feasible for this to happen realistically.
I mean, what? It probably only costs, like, a few million dollars.
No, first off, to adopt a child straight for TV.
But, okay, they adopted a child that no one wanted. So, like, who really? It can't be that expensive.
How much did that cost?
I don't know, a couple $100.
Fuck that, dude. I bet it costs like 15 grand.
Well, yeah, to adopt like regular kids, but this is one no one wanted.
Now, do you think it seems crazy that he wouldn't have figured something that was off beforehand? Or do you think it's a perfect example of like your reality is what you make of it?
I mean, I don't know. I feel like he'd have... As much as this movie is commenting on so many things, I feel like it's also commenting on, like, domesticity and, like, basically boredom of these middle-class families. So it's like he is kind of – he's in this 9-to-5 job. He's married. Like, his life really isn't exciting anymore. So, like, this would be the perfect time for him to start realizing when things seem kind of off.
Mm-hmm. Because I know there's, like, one scene where he's sitting in the car and he just, like, he starts to realize that, like, everything is just on a loop.
Oh, and just, like, girl on a red bike, guy with flowers, Volkswagen Beetle with a dented fender.
Yeah, I'm always curious, like, how much, how often, like, this thing, like, it's crazy to think that, like, something wouldn't happen where, like, you would catch these earlier.
But he also isn't looking for them earlier.
I guess that's true, too.
That thing falling out of the sky is kind of like this is the first weird thing I've kind of noticed.
It's a fucking constellation star. It says on the thing, like, Sirius, Procyon. Or no. serious CAMS major. I'm taking an astronomy class, for those who don't know. So I know what that star is.
Yeah, I think there's a lot working on a lot of different levels. I think there's even sort of like a religious element to it that you could look at.
Oh, with like God and his children?
Or yeah, or just the idea of like a creator that, and like you're like just part of like a story, so you don't really have any say about anything.
Let's go even deeper than that. This is the Matrix basically rips off this movie.
Elaborate.
Like Truman basically has to decide to take the red pill or the blue pill. He could keep on. Basically, at the end, I would imagine they have some way that like they could make him forget that he found any of this out. And he could go on just living this life that they have mapped out for him. That would be him taking the blue pill. Or he could take the red pill, enter the real world for the first time. And now there's a whole host of challenges that he has to explain because he has now been brought to life, finally.
Yeah, yeah, true. It's a good point.
So what you're telling me is that
Truman does not eat the steak, is what I'm saying.
Truman's the chosen one?
Truman does. Yeah, history, he does not eat the steak. So The Matrix came out in 99, right? And this was 98.
Those Wachowskis are not as fucking clever as they think they are.
Keanu Reeves is a wannabe fucking Jim Carrey.
You fucking know it, guy.
What is crazy is that I found out that the show Big Brother came out a year after The Truman Show.
Maybe that was inspired.
I mean, it definitely is. It's exactly what this movie is.
People saw The Truman Show and they're like, fuck,
let's do that for real.
Let's do this in real life. The idea of a corporation adopting a child, though, is disgusting.
Dude, that's where we're headed, guy.
Better not be.
I hope we are.
Are you fucking talking about
it? Dude, can you imagine what like life would be like if Walmart could adopt kids? Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, they wouldn't need workers anymore. They could just adopt an army.
Hell yeah, brother. What's wrong with that?
There would be no need for foster care anymore. Just there would be corporate care.
Exactly.
This is a solution to the foster care system.
Shut down the orphanages and they work at Walmart.
It's technically not child labor since they're part of the family business.
Exactly. Everyone remembers working with their dad at the old mom and pop shop when they're 9.
Who's your dad?
Walmart? I definitely understand why we got a 1-star.
Oh, shit. Fuck yeah.
Like Ed Harris is a visionary, and Truman just can't respect it.
He can't stand being the result of his hard work. My gosh, what an ungrateful piece of shit.
Seriously. They set this guy's up life for perfection. Okay, here's what I was thinking about. Like, so, obviously everything Truman needs is taken care of. Because if it's not, the show won't go on. So, like, what if Truman really wanted to, like, smoke crack? Like, is there something that, like...
I mean, he couldn't get his hands on crack in the dome. I'd imagine they're not bringing that in.
That's a good point. Like, when you think about it, like, if you have to step out into the real world and provide for yourself, wouldn't it be better to be like, I'm going to work this meaningless job that actually literally doesn't mean anything, so that way food can just be put on my table and a roof over like, my head?
I mean, they obviously would never let him starve, like, never let him be homeless, so, like... This guy honestly has the perfect scenario. Like, what if Truman just, like, became an alcoholic? Like, would they allow that to happen?
Here's my question, though.
What does he do with his paychecks? Because, like, he doesn't need money.
Truman ends up escaping the dome, right?
There's no legal change
at all, so they could easily just do it again.
Well, yeah, nothing they did is against the law.
That would be insane, like...
Do it again, like Carl, you know?
He doesn't know what the real world is, so they just, like, kidnap him, put him in a different bubble, and then he thinks that that's the real world.
The Truman Show could literally just lead into Get Out. Like, that could be...
Oh, my fucking gosh.
No, it goes, The Truman Show becomes 23.
I would like to see a sequel to this movie. Like what happens to Truman now? Like, literally, life is just going to suck for you now. Because no one is protecting you. You're on your own.
His parent is a corporation. So, like, his parent, I guess he's over the age of 18, so they don't legally need to care for him.
His life literally sucks at the end of that movie. When you, if you sit and you think about it, you're like, no, Truman, you made the wrong choice, guy. Like, have no official education because you went to some bumfuck college that doesn't really exist. He's got a degree. Like, so what's this guy gonna do? This motherfucker is gonna go, this guy has no real job history, no real, like, any form of life experience. This guy's gonna have to work at McDonald's and live in some shithole apartment, and like, that's really better than the life you were living inside the dome.
He's gonna get out and apply to an insurance agency, and they're just gonna be like, no, this company doesn't really exist. You have nothing to put on your resume.
You realize that didn't actually happen, right? Like, none of that was real.
So he's got that girl that likes him, so she'll take care of him and look out for him.
Oh, good, he's a fucking mooch. Another mooch on the system, that fucking Truman.
That's fucking hilarious. He's an unwanted child, so I guess, like, he could do the hunt for his real parents, I guess.
Eh, who cares? You're 30 years old. Get over it.
I personally like that they just put him in a different bubble and pretend that's the real world.
They just make, like, a very small version of New York City. It's like, wow, Truman in the big city.
Oh, no, that's what it leads into Synecdoche, New York.
Oh, shit.
They just bring him into that warehouse.
Truman really should have thought about this a little more. He's not making a good decision here.
Can he get back into the bubble now that he's out?
You think if, like, he lives a year, like, working a little bit at fucking McDonald's, and he's addicted to crack now because he's never experienced it before?
Hey, man,
he's
like, Christoph, man, like...
You think I could, like, get back in there, man?
That was a really good town. Like, I want to get back to my hometown. Know what I'm saying, man?
That's what I want to know. Like, what does Truman's first day as a free man look like?
Do you think people are waiting outside the dome? Because they know that he's leaving.
That's true. He's going to be famous now. Like...
He could just sell, like, ads on, like, TV. Like, he could be, like, a poster child. And actually know that he's being a poster child.
That's how he's going to scam the system. He's going to become a motivational speaker.
or like an activist against corporations adopting children.
Oh, God.
But we've already explained the pluses of that scenario, so...
Yeah, I don't see any negatives to the corporations adopting children.
Think about it this way. You have corporations that are able to adopt children. There's enough children out there to supply all of the needs that they have. So you have everything... Everybody works until they're 18, and then after that, everybody just gets UBI and gets to do whatever the fuck they want.
I want to know how, like, well those actors were being paid to go along with this. Like, you're giving up your life, too, to, like, play out this fake world.
And what happens if she gets nominated for an Emmy and wants to go to the award ceremony?
Can't allow it.
I'm going to my mother's for a week? Like...
What would be anyone's motivation to want to be in there that's not Truman? Like, hey, it doesn't matter if you find him attractive or have any sort of emotional connection to him at all. You're going to be married to him.
And you have to have sex with him.
You have to. We're going to film it, too.
Like, in order
for him to be the first live birth on TV.
In order for him to feel like he's living a normal life and then be able to get away with it, she has to have sex with him.
Multiple times.
Yeah, I can't imagine she enjoys that unless she's doing, like, product placement. Like,
she was committed to having a... She was
Trojan Magnum condom.
It's got to be, like...
She was committed to carrying his child.
Until he pulled a knife on her. Quit her.
No, because he wanted to sit around the world, and she was like, what about we're going to have a baby? Like, this actress was willing... to have another person's baby just for the sake of a reality show.
Is she just going to live in the dome forever?
I don't know, dude. So I guess they all kind of...
But these are, like, main players in this. Think about the guy that literally, like, whose job it is to just walk across the street at the very beginning of the day.
Yeah, he gets
this
to,
guy's giving up his entire life just to do that.
He gets to go home. Like, I'd imagine he gets to go home.
You think he just clocks out at 5 o'clock? Like, see you tomorrow, Jim.
Let's put it this way. Truman's not going to hunt this guy down. Like, he's not going to be, like, the guy two rows back on the bus and just follow him back to his house.
That's true. Maybe he does get to go home.
Low-key players get to home. Anybody who Truman has contact with has to stay on set 24/7. That's bullshit.
It's not, but like at some point, that's not even a set. Like, that is your life.
Also, and let's say hypothetically,
what does she do during the day when Truman's not there?
Surgery.
Like, so Truman goes to work for 9 hours a day, and she's just left to her own vices. Like, what does she do all the time?
Maybe she gets to leave the bubble.
Yeah, it begs the question, you'd always have to be doing something, right? Because if, like, you have to maintain the illusion. So if at any point, like, he calls you, anything happens, like, you have to be able to maintain the illusion. So people are just living artificial, like, surgery lives?
This is just way too complicated. There's way too many variables for this to ever work.
I want to know realistically.
Yeah, obviously.
What happens if, like, how does the show go forward if Truman knows that he's in a TV show? Like, if he decides to be like, all right, I guess I'll stay. Like, what does that show become?
You know what? You're right. I don't want to go out there.
He just goes back into town and, like, it's a fake show, which is what Christoph was trying to avoid in the first place.
He, like, still continues to go to work every day and talk to those two Jewish guys and...
Also, very aggressively pinning Truman up against a wall. Yeah, what seriously. Do? Do you throw, like... Cause, like,
They were pushing him up against that sign thinking to get the product placement for the show.
Right. The chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Offer some life insurance? Fake life insurance? Your life isn't even protected.
I know.
Chris, I never told you you look like Lord Varys from Game of Thrones.
Who's Lord Varys?
The eunuch.
Oh, fuck.
You kind of do.
Whatever, dude. He's badass. Dude, cutting off your balls is badass. I don't care what anybody says.
Dude, Truman should have done that.
Truman
put that on my
TV. He should have castrated himself. Yeah, what if Truman didn't turn out to be a normal child and he turned out to be like some goth guy?
What if, like, you know how many people turned out to be like Jeffrey Dahmer? Like, how are they
he just goes
bad?
On a murder spree in the entire
like, how everyone? Like, how does that show become different? Like, if they're filming Truman's, like, first murder, like, do they have to turn him in?
What do they do if he starts Googling, like, how to make a bomb?
Truman becomes a domestic terrorist. What do they do?
Worse, like, what if he was a chronic masturbator?
Oh, man. That's a friggin' riot.
Truman the sex addict.
Truman gone wild.
He's literally just like banging sluts at motels and cheating on his wife all the time.
They were really taking a gambling on him turning out okay.
Well, yeah, you know what they say about those orphans that were abandoned? They never have any emotional problems. Like this one.
Oh my gosh. What happens if he runs into the actors in the real world? Like, he's at a party somewhere in Hollywood and he runs into his...
Fucking Meryl's there.
Yeah, Meryl's there.
Oh, hey!
Meryl, long time no see. Remember when you, like, fucking ruined my life? I like the chronic masturbator thing.
Like, do they not know how big of a problem that would be on their hands? Like, if you just had to film him jerking off constantly?
Oh my gosh. Always having to pan to the curtains, never being able to look at him?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they videotape him while he's taking a shit? Or, like, do they
pan away
from that? I would
assume they're always recording.
They're always,
filming.
Like, what do they show?
Everything. I'd hope. Full frontal. How are they going to show full frontal on live TV?
Hmm.
Well, all fun aside, I do love The Truman Show.
I did too. I think I made a good choice.
I think you did too.
These are the important questions, though, that no one asks in film criticism. What if Truman was a chronic masturbator?
Yeah, you didn't see that in Roger Ebert's review.
We missed a whole other third dimension there.
Do you think that, like, at that point, Ed Harris's job was literally just, like, trying to get him to stop masturbating?
Gosh. It's like, how long can Truman stay pinned up in his room like that? He has no more clean socks. Like, what the fuck do we do?
He's, like, ripping the eyes off of the fucking magazine. Also, terrible cover. He's like, and then he goes.
Oh, gosh. His mom's the worst.
Yeah, she kind of sucks.
She doesn't listen to him at all.
Yeah, there's also a fake mom. Like, imagine having to pretend you care about this little shit.
Oh, God.
Fun fact. Do you guys know who Sarah Paulson is?
Yeah.
She's dating that woman.
In real life?
In real life.
Isn't that woman, like, 100 years old?
Sarah Paulson? Yeah, like, the one who's in American Horror Story?
No. Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Sarah Paulson's dating the mom from George of the Jungle?
Yes.
That's an odd pick out, though.
Yeah, there's like a 30 or 40 year age difference or something like that.
That's fucked.
She's in it for the money.
Yeah, dude, she's just waiting for that life insurance policy.
Sarah Paulson.
She sold her.
It totally blew my mind when I learned that a couple weeks ago.
When did she start dating her?
They've been dating for a while, I guess.
Really?
Oh my God.
Let me see.
That's...
Wow.
I mean, like, whatever works for you, I guess, but...
I'm sorry, that's weird to me.
I mean, weird. I don't have... There's a 32-year age gap.
I cannot imagine...
Like, how long have they been dating? Like, years, right? Like, 10 years or more, or something like that?
Let's see.
I don't understand how you can look at somebody 32 years older than you and just be like... That's the one.
They've been dating since 2015.
Oh, okay. So 5 years.
So, like, it's literally...
a committed relationship. Like, this is a long relationship.
So, like, when Sarah Paulson was born, this woman had already lived basically an entire life.
Because how old is that woman?
I don't know. 32 years old. Sarah Paulson.
So, Sarah Paulson's, like, what, in her 30s?
I don't know.
No, she's older than her 30s.
She's 32 years younger than Holland Taylor.
So, yeah. Crazy.
That is crazy.
Anything else?
Maybe we can answer this question. Well, she's only worth $18 million. I don't know if she's really in it for that much.
Only $18 million. Yeah. Whatever.
Dude,
Sarah Paulson's 45 years old, so this woman
is... Are you telling me, though?
Shit. She's 77. Damn.
What?
This is going to be like the real life notebook, dude.
Listen,
she's going to have to remind her every day that they're still dating.
Like, sitting there next to somebody who's like 50-something years old and being 20-something, I can see how that could work. But the moment somebody gets... over the age of like 74 and you're in your 40s and you have to look at that person every day and be like, oh man, I love those crow's feet. Oh boy.
Oh man, I really love dusting. I really love trying to fucking clean all the dust out of your vagina before we do anything.
I love how saggy you've gotten.
I mean, I guess Holland Taylor is a pretty good looking woman for 70 years old though.
Yeah, it's because she has $18 million. Anybody that age would
look like... Well, yeah, man. I don't know if I'm going to be... I don't know if you're going to find it big with some 70-year-old from Orono.
Listen, if some 77-year-old woman came up to me and
said... She's the exact type of clientele that I'm looking for.
What?
I told you, all I needed to do was to find two older women.
That's right.
I could be a male escort for two older women. They paid $1,000 a month, and I would have... I would split my time between two of them. This is the exact clientele that I'm looking for.
Wait, so they both pay $1,000 a month?
Yeah, I make $2,000 a month.
He's talking You're only making $24,000 a year.
All I have to do is have sex with old ladies, and that's your job.
For $24,000, that's you could like work any other job and make more money than them that didn't require you to have sex with old ladies.
When you love what you do, the money's not an object.
Plus, I'm assuming you're like sleeping the night at these ladies' houses, so
yeah, I would never have to have a place of my own. Don't have to pay rent.
No, this is all already. Just you two.
Okay, maybe I'd ask more than 1,000, but like maybe $1,000 a week, like
52.
Okay, 000. Now you're talking.
To $52,000 a year just to have sex with old ladies? Not even a multitude of them. You just have to find
plus, two. And here's the thing. Depending on how good at sex you are, there's a very good chance she's putting you in her will.
But I don't even care about that. You don't even have to be good at it. They're 75 to 80 years old. Like, they just want anything at this point.
No, they're seasoned vets. They know they're what not, they want.
No, all I need to do, you just got to please them for, I'll split my time, right? I'll give one 3 days. The other 3 days, I get Sunday off. Other than that.
Oh, the Lord's Day.
For church.
$52,000 a year to hang out with old ladies, which, Zach, you're probably – I guess you would have – I can imagine they would take a while to get off. Okay.
I didn't say I was going to do that.
You have
when I'm done, we're done.
Okay. No, dude. You're at their service. They're paying you $1,000 a week.
Oh, right. What I'll say to them is when you have all these men just lining up to fucking slam you away all night, you fucking let me know and I'll step aside. Until then, we're played by my rules.
I feel like if you're getting paid $500 a week from an old lady for 3 days of work.
$1,000.
No, between the two.
No, he's saying 2,000. So that'd be 2,000 between the two of them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you're getting 2,000 a week?
Yeah. What am I, poor?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. If you're getting paid $1,000 a week to spend 3 days with somebody, you're eating out and all. Like, you signed up for the full package.
I mean, like, as long as they get off once a week, I would say we're fine.
That's pretty woman level escort service.
But I'm saying, like, what, they probably, most of them probably haven't gotten off in, like, 20 years. So if I give them once a week, like, they basically are fucking 16 again.
Yeah, but they haven't gotten off in, like, 30 years. So you're going to have to provide that service to them multiple times. It's not like they're going to be like, oh, once is enough. Dude, you've heard the stories about the village in Florida.
Chris,
STDs are running rampant down there.
Bro, I live that story.
That's badass.
This brainchild is still in production, Chris. I obviously don't have all the kinks worked out just yet.
Write this fucking screenplay already.
The male escort.
The male escort service for two old ladies.
Are you sure you can't work this in a Ku Klux Cop?
I might be able to.
This is like the feminist version of Grumpy Old Men.
This is like the I don't even think it's very feminist, honestly.
Why? Sexual freedom. Old ladies getting younger guys.
This is more like the feminist version of Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Exactly what everyone didn't know they needed.
Yeah. You're talking about the original Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo, right? Like, that's what you're referring to?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The thing not everybody knew they needed.
Well, to bring this back around here, anything else you have to say about the Truman Show?
I'm good.
What are you guys going to give the Truman Show out of 5 stars?
5.5.
Yeah, I'm going 5.
5 for me. Does it go into the Hall of Fame? Chris?
Yes.
No.
What? What?
No, I'll go yes.
Yes for me.
Oh, fucking gosh. I was about to say, are you fucking kidding me, dude?
Gives it 5 stars, talks highly about it, and like, you know what, logistically speaking, it doesn't really make much sense, so it's a no for me.
Yeah, this could never happen in real life, so no.
Oh my fucking gosh. Yeah, and this theory is so legit.
Too legit to quit.
Well,
because basically, you when you started,
that should be the name of that should be the name of your male escort movie. Too legit to quit.
Too le clit. Too le quit. No, too legit. Too legit to clit. You do that. That'd be pretty fun.
I think we'll call it the Beaver Rejuvenator.
Move on here then. Let's talk about some other things that we watched. You guys got anything?
I'm gonna get a Coke.
That was fine. I don't want anything.
Oh, you want something like that?
No, it's fine. I'll just die of thirst.
Did you want anything this week, Zach?
I did. Where should I start? So it's basically all Friday the 13th except one.
Okay, nice.
So I guess I will mention Cherry Vanilla. Oh my. I watched, I don't know how high up in my top 100 it will be, but it will be there. This is a film from 2004, directed by Mark Waters, written by Tina Fey. This would be Mean Girls.
Nice.
And I love Mean Girls.
That's one I've been wanting to watch for a long time.
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah, I remember being pleasantly surprised the first time I watched it. And I've been wanting to rewatch it for a while.
That's one of those movies where I really hate its fan base, but I like the movie. But the fan base brings the movie down for me.
Well, I'm not a person that just likes to sit around and watch movies and quote it. Like, I like to just watch it and then have the humor of the movie make me laugh. But that was the problem I found with Mean Girls. Even the first time I watched it, the people I watched it with, they were just quote it nonstop. Yeah.
Personally, I like to watch movies and then forget that I ever watched them and then watch them again and then realize I had already seen them about halfway through, or when I finish the whole thing and I go to log it and it logs as a rewatch because I've already seen it.
The only movie I'll quote as I'm watching it is Rocky Balboa style. I watched that again this week.
There's some good throwaway parts of Mean Girls that I had never noticed before. Hmm. So this probably would never happen in a movie today. But so the guy comes in, he's like, "Oh, we have a new student today, Caddy from South Africa." And then Tina Fey turns to the only black student in the class and is like, "Oh, it's so nice to have you." And she's like, "I've been going to this school since kindergarten." Classic. I think Amy Poehler in this movie is hilarious.
Oh, as... and the dog's chewing at her tit. Oh my fucking gosh, I died. Shit, I gotta watch that movie this week.
She makes all the kids mimosas, and then it's like, she's like, "You let your kids drink? I'm the cool mom."
I could see why you put that in the top 100.
That's great.
It might make mine. Maybe.
Before Lindsay Lohan went off the deep end.
So before Lindsay Lohan was fun?
Before. So this is pre. Yeah. This is post Herbie Fully Loaded, but pre Machete. So we're in prime Lindsay Lohan. Mm.
Nice. Well, prime Lindsay Lohan is the parent trap Lindsay Lohan, which that'll probably make my top 100.
Yeah, I gotta watch that.
You think I'm kidding? I'm not.
Classic quote.
I legitimately think Parent Trap will make my top 100 movies all time because I always wanted to live in a great vineyard. Or a fucking vineyard. That's after I why. Saw that movie. Are you kidding me?
Not even like some classic hijinks. We were just like,
I love the classic hijinks.
Lives in a vineyard.
I think it's great. Make more attractive dudes. So I don't have to watch them like piercing ears and stuff. And instead I can watch them like
trade hustlers
or some shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Jerk each other off.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yes, Jake, I did watch a movie this week. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, what did you watch?
I watched Friday Night Lights. Oh. I love the soundtrack, dude.
The Explosions in the Sky score?
Choosing to do Explosions in the Sky was an absolute great choice. It's slow to start off, very slow. And this time around, I find myself not caring about Boobie Miles towards the end. Like, I just don't. Because when he has his injury, I care so much. Every single time, that scene where he's, like, crying in the car gets me every single time. But then kind of after that moment, I start to lose interest in his plot. But they bring it up, like, multiple times. And I'm just, whatever. But I really like...
Oops, sorry, go ahead.
I really like Billy Bob Thornton as the coach. I think he plays a fantastic coach. I like the team as a whole. I like how they frame them to be smaller than everybody else, but faster. And they're said to be good in the beginning, but you don't really see that come through until playoffs. And
I thought Kyle Chandler was in it.
He's in the show.
Oh, that's the show. Oh, okay.
The movie's Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, I've never seen the show. I've been told I need to watch it, but
I would say Billy Bob Thornton is great. I think Kyle Chandler is better. And then there's Taylor Sheridan, I think, is in the show, and I think he would have been great in the movie.
Who's Taylor Sheridan?
The screenwriter?
No, maybe it's not him. The guy who's in fucking I gotta find it now.
I just have a hard time finding myself watching this movie and thinking, you know what this needs? 8 more hours.
So, Taylor Kitsch is his name. And he's the guy that's in... Well, he is John Carter, Chris. You should already like him.
Fuck, that's all you need to say, dude. I'm in. Sign me up.
But he's in the second season of True Detective. He's like the guy that's kind of crazy.
He's in
but he's really good in the show, and I think he would have been great in.
Who's the like card the like card throwing guy in the X-Men universe?
I don't know what his name is, but it is him.
Yeah.
What's a better football movie? Remember the Titans or Friday Night Lights?
Okay, believe it or not, Remember the Titans isn't that good, so Friday Nights is better.
I would say
okay.
I really like Friday Night Lights more, but Friday Night Lights is the better movie, but I still really like Remember the Titans.
The real question here is, what's the better football movie? Friday Night Lights or The Longest Yard?
Oh, shit. That's a quotable movie. Fuck, that's a quotable movie. It's all flooding back to me now.
Well, to make it even harder on you, what's a better football movie, Friday Night Lights or The Waterboy?
Oh, fuck Waterboy, dude. Ugh. Waterboy's the best football movie all time. Oh, man. Shit, that's a quotable movie, too. Fuck, Adam Sandler's had some hits.
It's a better football movie, Chris. Friday Night Lights or Varsity Blues?
Varsity Blues?
You never seen Varsity Blues?
No.
You fucked up, guy.
Yeah, I'm not super into it.
Is that a TV show?
No.
Oh, is that the one with Paul Walker?
What's a better football movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Friday Night Lights or Gridiron Gang?
Oh, shit. Early Dwayne The Rock Johnson in movies.
An exhibit.
And fucking great exhibits in that shit. Gosh. I'm going to have to go Gridiron Gang, dude.
I haven't seen the Gridiron Gang in so long.
Fuck the Truman Show, Gridiron Gang, motherfuckers. Okay,
who's a better coach? Billy Bob Thornton or Coach Carter?
Coach Carter. Oh, my gosh. Coach Carter is the best coach. There's not
Even seen Friday Night Lights since Coach Carter.
There's no better coach in sports movie history.
Come Again?
No, Coach Carter? Are you kidding me?
Come Again? His name's Gene Hackman, and the movie's called Hoosiers?
No. Do you mean Gene Hackman in The Replacements?
Okay. What's the better football movie, Chris? Friday Night Lights or Any Given Sunday?
Any Given Sunday is so long, though.
I
love Jamie Foxx.
I don't think...
Plus, you get to see LL Cool J do blow, which is absolutely badass.
I don't think there's any speech in a sports movie better than the one.
Oh, there's not.
Any Given Sunday.
There's not. That last speech, I memorized that speech. I actually used to quote that during...
Who's a better coach? Billy Bob Thornton in Friday Night Lights or Billy Bob Thornton in Bad News Bears?
Ooh, tough one.
You're really throwing out some dingers. Billy Bob Thornton, Friday Night Lights, or Rob Schneider, David Spade, and John Heater in Benchwarmers?
Oh, man, this is getting tough.
Gosh, we're going to create...
Who's technically the coach of that team in Benchwarmers?
They all are. They're their own coach. That's the point. We gotta create like a March Madness style bracket
for sports movies,
for like best sports movies coaches of all time.
Yeah, we should
make a seeding process of like we'll break it off into
your four regions. So like Friday Night Lights, Coach Carter, Any Given Sunday, and Major League. Those are your four number one seeds.
We'll break it off with seriousness.
Well, like, there we go. We should break it into like different sports categories. Because, like, so you could do, like, here are your basketball movies, your baseball movies, your football movies. And then we can just do, like, miscellaneous.
Like Mark Ruffalo when he plays the wrestler, the fox catcher.
So you could do, like, the wrestler, Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings, John Candy.
You could do...
Steve Martin did football and fucking Cheaper by the Dozen.
You do Cool Runnings, Miracle, the only good hockey movie worth watching.
True.
And then that one where Cuba Gooding Jr. is into dog sledding.
Mighty Ducks? Are you kidding me?
Oh, shit. Maybe we could
just do Mighty Ducks for sure.
We'll do all the Mighty Ducks movies, Miracle, and Slapshot.
Slapshot? Ice Cube in that one where he teaches that girl to throw a football.
And then in the basketball movies,
Spelling Bee count in Akia and the Bee? Lawrence Fishburne, I'm pretty sure, is in that one, right?
Basketball movies, your number one seed is obviously Rebound with Martin Lawrence.
This is some dynamite shit. Oh, and then we
got to come up with this bracket.
What about, like, the Russian guy from Icarus? Does he count?
He's in there somewhere. Miscellaneous. He's in the fucking round robin to see if they can get the 16th seed.
Oh, my fucking gosh.
I gotta rewatch Rebound.
We forgot that was a movie.
I've never even seen Rebound.
Oh, it's good.
That was one of those movies we owned on DVD when I was a kid. One of the like 12 movies we owned.
It is good.
Well, after we do episode 100, we'll need some show ideas, so that ought to keep us busy for a long time.
I bet if we could, like, legitimately make a bracket and get on the podcast and just not even review a movie, just, like, make our bracket and then just, like, debate each rivalry as it comes up until we have a winner.
I mean, you gotta think. So, we don't have to do 32. If we were to break it down into, like, 16.
That's enough content.
Yeah, if we did, like,
four, right?
Mm-hmm. We would just pick the four best baseball movies, the four best basketball movies, four best football movies, and then we could just come up with four hockey movies.
Yeah. Mighty Ducks 1, 2, and 3, and then Miracle.
And then Miracle.
Easy. Now you might have to put Goon in there.
Goon is good. Goon is good. You're right. We should do that.
I mean, Happy Gilmore isn't technically a hockey movie, Chubbs, but he does play hockey.
Chubbs, dude. Chubbs is a great coach. A fucking, what mama don't know won't hurt her.
Or instead of...
What's his name?
Henry Winkler? Henry yeah. Winkler. Instead of hockey, I mean, maybe you could do, like, boxing.
Clint Eastwood.
You've got, like, Million Dollar Baby, the Rocky movies, Creed.
Mickey from Rocky, yeah. Rocky from Creed.
Hmm. Maybe you do need eight teams or eight or something. Maybe we could be fun. Reason we do 64.
Just a full 64? That'd be such a long podcast.
I mean, we'd be good. That over weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that'll take us from one. That'll take us from 100 to 200. Episode 200 is where we reveal the bet at the top.
Finally, number one, we get to the last one, and we're like, you know, I think we really got to reconsider this whole bracket.
We get halfway through, we realize we did something wrong, and like, start over.
Sorry, Mikey. Sorry, Rachel's brother.
Yeah. Well, the only thing I really got to talk about is I just cleaned the house or whatever. I watched The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Good shit.
I mean, The Phantom Menace is not bad. I picked them up on 4K. The Phantom Menace is it looks okay. So the Phantom Menace was the only one of the prequel trilogies that was shot on film. And they tried to like make them all look pretty uniform, so they scrubbed a lot of the grain out of the disc. So some of it just kind of looks like, I don't know, like a lot of the CG is really starting to look old. Like any of the Gungans doesn't really look very great. Any sort of like creature that they did with CG like doesn't look all that great, but the makeup and costuming looks pretty sweet. Like Darth Maul looks pretty badass.
I wanted to know more about Darth Maul.
What?
I remember when I found out that they were doing a standalone Han Solo movie, I got pissed because I wanted a standalone Darth Maul movie.
That'd be dope. And then Attack of the Clones, that's all digital, so it doesn't really look that great. Especially any of the CG stuff doesn't look that great. And then there's some stuff that like I didn't even realize was CG until I watched it this time around. And just like little things that they decided to do CG, like you know the scene like when they're eating the fruit and Anakin like is like cutting it up with the Force and like pushing it over to her. All that fruit is CG. Huh. Like you can just like see the seams a lot more.
But
I love some seams.
Yeah.
But. You know, despite all that, sometimes it's still a good 2.5 hours. One thing that's funny is how much confidence Mace Windu always says things and how he's wrong about everything.
I haven't seen Phantom Menace in so long.
It's the only one worth watching.
Of all the Star Wars movies?
Yeah.
Seriously.
No. Other than that, I've been watching Game of Thrones. I've finished the first two seasons, on to the third.
What do you think?
The second season is probably one of my least favorites. I think it's pretty slow and boring.
What happens in the second
season? That's just a lot of, like, the preparing for war. A lot of stuff with, like, Robb and Catelyn on the road. Catelyn Stark's, like, one of my least favorite characters. Like, I think she sucks.
But her motivation is the same exact thing as friggin' Cersei.
Yeah, but she's lame about it. Yeah, but, like, Cersei's actually, like, strategic in her stuff, whereas Catelyn just lets her emotions take over. So, but one thing that I thought was interesting when rewatching the first season, or the finale, like, when Daenerys goes to the House of the Undying and she sees the visions,
The visions that she see, like, in the show, they're different than the, what's in the book. But in the show, like, she's in the throne room, and all of, like, King's Landing is, like, burnt and destroyed. And, like, I think you think originally that it's snow falling, like, when it's everything's all, like, open and, like, oh, with the snow falling down. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be ash. So it's like when you reflect back on that final season, and like everybody thought like it's kind of out of left field. I think it only feels out of left field because like the stuff in the middle is like disjointed and like not necessarily like building like a fine line for you to follow. But like when you look back at the earlier seasons, like I don't know, like, I think the connections are kind of there. She's definitely like a hot-headed woman who like loses her temper a lot, and then when you mix in like the vision that she sees, like in the House of the Undying, like I don't know, like I think things kind of work out.
You know what he's doing?
Mm.
He's building a narrative, my friend. He's gonna get and to the last season. He's gonna be like, you know what? I actually think I kind of liked it. I think I kind of liked it.
Well, there's some stuff I definitely.
He's sprinkling the breadcrumbs now.
I said this last episode, I'm pretty sure, that in 10 years, everybody's going to be preaching that tune.
It's not that I'm going to like it, but it's more like, everybody, you think that it's out of left field and, like, uncalled for, but then, like, maybe realistically, like, the signs were all there. It just could have been laid out clearer, I think. Or, like, more better executed, I would say.
You think George R. R. Martin goes with the same plot?
No.
Why not?
It's going to be a lot different.
What do you think is going to happen?
They're all going to die.
And they're all going to die.
I don't know what's going to happen. I am thinking that Tyrion will be a Targaryen. That seems certain.
Tyrion?
Yeah.
A Targaryen?
Yeah.
Weird.
Wicked.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain Tyrion's going to be a Targaryen, and Jon is definitely going to be a Targaryen. I don't know. I'm sure Lady Stoneheart she's got to come into effect somehow, some way.
Who's Lady Stoneheart?
Catelyn. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. She gets brought back to life.
Catelyn Stark?
She becomes Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah, she gets brought back to life, but she's been dead for so long that when they bring her back, like, she's sort of like a zombie, I guess, is, like, the closest comparison. And she, like, lost her ability to talk, basically. But she's, like, out for revenge on everybody who wronged her and, like, was responsible for the Red Wedding.
Fuck. That's intense shit.
Yeah, there's, like, all kinds of shit. And there's, like, a bunch of, like, characters that aren't even in the show that are, like, that come out in the fourth book. And they're all, like, super mysterious.
How many is he planning on writing?
7.
Fuck, dude, he's only at 4?
5.
5? You still got 2 more books to go?
Yeah.
He'll be dead before then.
I was about to say, dude, who's going to finish it once he actually dies?
It's more than likely he doesn't really want to write them. So I would imagine that he's like outlining everything to happen so then someone can come in and finish it posthumously. That would be my guess.
They're going to have 2 middle names?
No, they'll probably be I don't know how it's going to work out, but it'll probably be like enough notes or whatever that they'll just say it was written by George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, whatever.
But yeah, there's a ton of threads still to go, and there's like.
How's it looking?
What?
How's it looking 4K?
Very clean. My only complaint is, I think I might have said this. I can't remember if we were recording or not. But anytime it's, like, very brightly lit anywhere, there's just, like, this insane, like, haloing and just, like, super overbearing, like, in the background that's really distracting. But like the costuming and whatnot is like super finely detailed. Right. And any like close up on people's faces like looks really great. Like the colors seem a lot more like they don't like pop, they're not like super vibrant, but they just seem like very like clean, like dull, but like real, like a realistic dull, like what costumes would be in that time, because like they don't have like crazy dyes, so it's just like very simple. Like it seems like a true maroon, like a true like navy blue, and not like some like artificial like color popping on it. It looks really good.
Huh.
Yeah. Though I've been adjusting to my new player because I got rid of the Xbox.
Does it play it differently than the Xbox does?
I think the Xbox adds some sort of like artificial enhancement to everything that makes things like look way brighter than they are.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what I've noticed. Look with this new player. So like things don't seem like super like bright and like overbearing, but it's just like when you look at things like in detail, like you can notice like things like very clearly, and things seem like way more true to life color instead of like being like enhanced. I don't know. I could be talking out of my ass, but that's what it seems like when I compare the two.
Sounds interesting.
Chris, do you have anything else?
Only one other thing.
All right. Go for it.
I watched Kevin Hart's new stand-up. You say that, but it's actually pretty funny. And it's cool because he filmed the entire thing in his house. So, like, he still has people who are, like, come to see it. But he's got some pretty funny jokes. And let me actually just look up the name of the stand-up real quick. Because in this one, it's called Zero Fucks Given. And you can tell in this one, by compared to most of his stand-ups, that he did give less of a fuck. Because, you know, Kevin Hart, he's a super funny guy. He is really funny. But, like, in a lot of his stand-ups, he does a lot of bits based around making fun of himself, where in this one, he does more bits that are based around making fun of other people. Which I think is a really – he does it in his classic style. And I think it's really cool to see him do stuff like that, because he does give zero fucks. Or I should say he gives less fucks. But it's worth a watch. I mean, it's only about an hour and some odd minutes long. It's not like he's doing an hour and a half special. He's only doing like an hour nine, but a lot of that is like precursor video. And then after video as well, along with the credits. So he probably is realistically doing like 58, 59 minutes. So I'd watch it. I mean, and the thing is that if you get like 15, 20 minutes into this special and you don't like the material so far, you probably won't like the rest. So you could just shut it right off. But I think it's worth giving it a try. If you are interested in stand-up, of course.
Because you're going to watch Holiday?
No way.
That seems like it could be up your alley.
Holiday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What makes you guys say that?
It's a romantic comedy.
I'm not into all rom-coms. It's got to be the right rom-com. There's got to be just... Because, you know, like, they make romantic comedies that are funny and just romantic.
It's in the
like,
name.
Yeah. Well, I know. But it can't be just funny and romantic. It's got to have a hint of sadness in there for me. You know, like, a hint of tragedy.
I have to know whether or not I'm mildly depressed watching it.
If I'm confident that nobody is going to die in the movie, then I won't watch it. But if there's a chance that somebody will die, then sure, I'll watch it. P.S. I Love You? Confirmed death from the very beginning.
Not a romantic comedy.
P.S. I Love You? Are you kidding me?
Not a romantic
comedy. Like a romantic downer.
It's a huge romantic comedy. You guys know what you're talking about.
I don't think it's a rom-com. I don't remember laughing that much when I was watching it.
Well, there's funny moments.
Her husband dies and Chris is fucking bawling. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
you a widow, bitch.
Oh shit. There's funny moments, all right? It's meant to make you laugh.
Does funny moments make it a romantic comedy?
It's maybe a romantic dark comedy, but it's a romantic comedy.
There are parts in what's that fucking movie? There are parts in Cannibal Holocaust that make me laugh. Does that mean it's a comedy, Chris?
You're fucked, though. Like, yeah, that's the difference.
See, Chris, I hate to break it to you, but P.S. I Love You is not a romantic comedy. It's a romantic drama.
Well, people don't know how to categorize movies in, because that movie
yeah,
was
Yeah, seriously,
hilarious.
Cannibal Holocaust, not a comedy?
Oh, man. Fuck, that's a weird question. Woman has a baby, right? And they cut the umbilical cord.
You think I'm gonna know the answer to this just before we keep going?
I mean, I think it's a good talking point if you don't. And she gives birth and she has the baby and they cut the umbilical cord. You know how the umbilical cord on the baby kind of like shrivels up and just falls off?
No, but okay.
What happens to the umbilical cord that's inside the woman?
I think it's removed.
It's removed, like how though?
They tuck it back in.
Do they just like yank on it?
Dude, they treat it like it's a fucking starting cable on a lawnmower. They just fucking
yeah, maybe. I'm pretty sure it's just removed.
I think they get like one of those things that you would use to like wrap up a hose in the yard and they just stick up.
Just roll it up.
Just roll it up.
Yep.
Shove it back inside.
Yeah, you were right. It's an interesting talking point.
What's it attached to?
One would assume the baby.
Well, yeah, it's attached to the baby's belly button, but, like, where does the umbilical cord, like, get attached to on the woman?
I don't know.
Is it just, like, a little hole in her stomach? Cause, like,
you're going to have to Google that one.
I don't want to Google this shit.
Give us a pregnant find out.
I'm good. I'm not doing that.
Do it for science, Chris.
No.
Where's your sense of adventure?
Yeah, where's your sense of wonder?
How'd you get your lady pregnant?
Yeah,
I don't have these burning questions.
Prepare for this type of shit.
Yeah, I'll ask her.
Hey, where was your umbilical cord attached?
Hey, you know how when you were
follow-up question,
umbilical cord. What did they do with the other part?
Just have a tug of war style, like, all right, everybody, pull.
I would imagine it's similar, like it shrivels, like it dries out, and I don't know, maybe passes.
It can shit it out. It
or
passed.
Maybe like the body like breaks it. Maybe the body breaks it down as like nutrients or something. I don't know.
Well, that's what I want to know is like where is it attached to? Because
Google it. Probably the stomach, I would imagine, right?
That would be my assumption too.
There maybe. You go.
But then you, I don't fucking know.
Well, Zach, while Chris Googles that, what else did you watch this week?
I can breeze through these. So I watched from 1985, directed by Danny Steinman, Friday the 13th, The New Beginning. This would be part 5. So this one is famous because it does not have Jason in it. It is a different killer. They were kind of setting it up for Corey Feldman to take over as Jason, but Corey Feldman was busy with the Goonies. So he did not partake in this movie. It's also like it's not the bloodiest one, but it has like the most kills. Because I guess I watched the making of for this as well, and the director was saying that part of the studio's like notes was that there had to be a kill every 8 minutes.
Damn.
So there's it's a 92-minute movie, so there's one every 8 minutes. Pretty good scene. Pretty good scene with this guy. He's in an outhouse. Killed in the outhouse. That's pretty good.
Is this the one where, like, Jason, like, whoever he touches, he, like, takes over their body?
It's Jason Goes to Hell.
Oh.
And like I said, Jason's not in this one, so work on your listening skills.
Well, I thought like you meant just like the physical presence of Jason wasn't in it.
So it's the mask, but like someone puts it on and is a foe.
Oh, I see.
You follow me.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about part 5. Part 6 is entitled Jason Lives. This came out in 1986, directed by Tom McLaughlin. And I loved part 6. You've done 5 of these at this point. You're kind of looking for a way to do something different. And this hits it out of the park. It's not serious. It does not take itself seriously at all. It's hilarious. It opens with Jason, like, they basically rip off the James Bond credits. And so it's like Jason stepping into frame and, like, instead of, like, firing a gun, he, like, slashes his machete. Pretty sick soundtrack. There's a lot of, like, visual gags that I think are hilarious. So, like, there's a scene where he, like, takes someone's head and, like, bounces it off a tree. And then, like, it leaves, like, a smiley face imprint, which I thought was hilarious. Jason comes back to life in this one by being, shot with a lightning bolt. And that electrocutes him back to life.
Nice.
It's pretty funny. He's basically just an unstoppable, like, killing force in this one. There's some pretty good practical effects. It's the only one where they're at the camp and there are actually like children present. So it is possible for Jason to kill children, which I like.
Nice.
I like that threat. I thought that worked really well. It's just a lot of fun. So this one is Tommy as an adult and he's attempting to destroy Jason forever.
What's the one on like the cruise ship?
That's Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh.
What fucking gosh. Jason in a New York minute.
Yeah, I loved part 6.
Jason does Sex in the City.
Part 7 came out in 1988, directed by John Carlo Bushler. So this is the first one where like the MPA really like started to crack down on violence and whatnot, so there's not really many on-screen kills. They all kind of take place off-screen. And this one features a young girl who has, like, Carrie-esque psychic abilities. And she is supposed to be the one that takes on Jason.
Who wins?
It's an interesting idea, but I don't think it's very well executed. I like the idea of this psychic child, like, taking on Jason. So this is what's ridiculous. So her father drowns, and she thinks it's her fault. And so in years later, she's going to use her psychic ability to bring her father back to life, but what she does is ends up bringing Jason back to life.
Okay.
Now Jason is unleashed on this town once again, killing people left and right. So Chris, I think you would like this movie. There's a pretty good joke in it. you would find this hilarious. I know you would. So they're like throwing this kid a surprise party, and he doesn't show up because Jason killed him. So like this other kid is like, he wants to be a science fiction writer. He's obnoxious and just annoying. And he's like opening the presents one night. And it's, he opens this up and it's like, the gift is, he's like, personal penis enlarger. And he's like, what? And he like opens the box and it's a magnifying glass. classic. That's good.
Classic penis joke.
I wish that it would have been better, but it's kind of boring. I don't really care much about what's going on. But it's not as boring as Friday the 13th Part 8, which is Jason Takes Manhattan. Which sounds like the greatest idea for a movie that anyone's ever had. But only the last 10 minutes take place in Manhattan. The rest of the movie takes place on this boat. And it's all been said before about this movie. It's boring. I don't care what's happening at all. I love the last 10 minutes that are in Manhattan, but like the rest of the movie is just not worth sitting through to get to that.
Might as well just call it Jason Takes the Open Sea.
Yeah, that would be much better and more accurate too. But this, so part 7 is noteworthy because it's the first one where Kane Hodder plays Jason.
You said that was the 7th one?
Yeah. I believe he plays him for the rest of them that have been made. I believe. Yes, that is true.
Freddy versus Jason?
And in Freddy versus Jason.
Wow. Should
review that one. So yeah, part 9 is kind of the same. It's Jason goes to hell, but really that's like the last 5 minutes of the movie.
What about Jason X?
Jason X is actually good.
Is it?
I can't wait to get to that one again.
How's this box set?
Wonderful.
Does it also include Freddy versus Jason?
Yep.
Oh shit.
That's the one I have Jason Goes to Hell, Jason X, and Freddy versus Jason left.
Have you just been watching these on your own?
What do you mean on my would I be watching them elsewhere?
I don't know, maybe mom popped in, watched one with you.
No.
I wasn't sure if she was a Friday the 13th fan.
She said she was going to watch them, and I said you'd have to rent them for me.
Trying to get a steady stream of income here, Mom.
I got rent to pay.
Anything else anybody else watched?
I'm good.
That was all I had.
That was it?
I watched Stim Eat Things, including what we reviewed.
Yeah, you watched a lot of Jason movies, Friday the 13th movies. What are we doing next week?
I would assume holiday.
I would assume we're not doing that.
I don't know. I don't know about this week, but next week we're doing Mank.
Right.
We didn't ask what we were doing next week. We asked what we were doing this week.
Yeah, I don't really care what you ask, Zach.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Review Who Be Halloween again.
What are we going to do in an Adam Sandler appreciation episode?
We're time like the present, old boy.
On Adam Sandler's birthday.
When's that?
Tomorrow.
I don't know. But we'll figure out what we're going to do next week. Well, if you guys have nothing else, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And if I don't see you later, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Except for that person who gave us a 1-star review.
Yeah, name yourself, coward.